Well, our scripture reading this evening comes from the book of Romans, chapter 8. The book of Romans, chapter 8. It's such a great chapter. We could read the whole thing, but we won't. We're going to read verses 18 through 30. So Romans, chapter 8, 18 through 30. People of God, this is God's very word. For I consider that the sufferings of this present age are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of the corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. And there ends the reading of God's Word this evening. Well, I have to start out and apologize. So last year on New Year's Day, I preached in this pulpit. And in that sermon, I said, 2020 could be great, or 2020 is just going to be terrible. And I look back and think, oh boy, what did I do? But now we can look back and say, we made it. How many of us have said, boy, that year couldn't end fast enough? Now, I can't remember another year like 2020. Though I'm only 43 years old, and some of you, you know, have seen probably worse years. But for me, 2020 was pretty rough. Just looking back at 2020, you know, fires raging all over the West Coast, hurricanes in the East Coast, civil unrest throughout the whole country. Sometimes it was shocking when people would die unexpectedly. We wouldn't even think that young people were dying. Or maybe this is the year that somebody got the phone call about cancer. Maybe you know somebody. We had a young student that just graduated high school who was told 3 months ago he had cancer. And it went so fast that they had to amputate his leg above the knee. Only in 2020 you could think of stuff like that. Wow. It just seemed like if things could go wrong, it was going to go wrong in 2020. Have I mentioned COVID-19 yet? No. Have I mentioned the church being put in a box yet? No. See, it can go on and on. 2020 seems so rough. And we could sum up that whole year with one word: suffering. Maybe some of us hadn't had it that bad. Maybe you think suffering's too strong of a word. But if you took a step back and looked at the entire world, I think suffering sums it up pretty well. And as we see this evening in our text, suffering is just the way of the Christian. That's what we do in this life. The Christian life is a life of suffering. But the Apostle Paul doesn't leave us there, does he? He doesn't take us to suffering and then say, okay, you're there. No. He tells us, no. Yeah, you're suffering until glory. You're suffering. And then one day, you're glorified. And as we'll see in our text, we may think glory is a ways away. But Paul tells us right now, we're glorified. So I have 3 points this evening. The first one is, our future is secured. The second point is, the Spirit prays for us. And the third point is, we have an unbreakable chain. So the first point, we have a secure future. Second point, the Spirit is praying for us. And the third point is we have an unbreakable chain. Because, beloved, when suffering and persecution comes our way, and it will come our way, knowing those three things, holding on to those three things, is not only going to make 2021 better, but every day until we see Jesus face to face. You know, looking around the world, it's almost sad to look and see how the world reacts to certain disasters or certain things that are going on. And then you have to take a step back and think, well, they don't have hope. They don't have the hope of Christ. They don't have the hope of a future. They look forward and they see no hope. I'd be at my wit's end if that was my life. But when I stopped and think about it, and I was preparing this sermon, I thought, you know, the sad thing is towards the end of the year, even people in the church started feeling that way. That they were losing hope. Like the year was getting too bad. We in the church, we've had it good for so long, we don't know what suffering is, do we? We don't know what to do when suffering comes our way. And I thought about when suffering and persecution comes to today's church, we kind of turn into the Apostle Peter. You might be thinking, okay, let's see where he goes here. The Apostle Peter. Remember the time Jesus is praying on the mountain and he tells the disciples, go across the lake. It'll be fine. I'll meet you over there. They say, okay. They jump in the boat. They start going. It's the middle of the night. They're not going anywhere. A storm comes up. They're trying their best to get across. And they look to the side, and what do they see? Jesus walking on the water across the lake. Nothing's bothering him. And Peter, you know, they say it's a ghost. But Peter says this. He says, Lord, command me to come to you. He doesn't ask, like, hey, Lord, can I come to you? No. Command me to come to you. Jesus says, yeah, come on, come on. So Peter steps out of the boat. Peter walks on water. Well, what happens? The wind and the wave, they start moving him. He loses his focus on Jesus. And he starts to sink. And I believe that's what kind of happened to the church at the end of this year. When the wind and the waves started buffering the church, we kind of lost our focus a little bit. We kind of took our eyes off Christ. And sadly, a lot of people in the church started to sink like Peter did. But the best thing about these stories is Christ was right there and he reached his arm out and he could grab them and pull them up. Well, the Apostle Paul tonight is going to tell us that suffering is a way of life for us. But suffering shouldn't take us by surprise. Paul will tell us that both individually and corporately as a church, we're going to be marked by suffering until Christ returns. And that's okay. You're going to be thinking, wait, what? Yes, that is okay. Because the suffering in this life, as we read in verse 18, is not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Think of that. You know, a lot of Christians today are thinking, how can we maintain hope in the face of suffering? Notice how I said Christian there, not the world. Because I've talked to a lot of Christians and their hands are getting thrown. What do we do? I heard this. How can God's very own children suffer? I thought we were set free from these things. You know, when the devil starts putting these ideas in our mind, we need to stop and read that verse, verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings at this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. You see, we forget sometimes that we have one foot in the old creation and one foot in the new. See, if you're in Christ Jesus, your ticket's been punched. You're going to heaven. You've been clothed with His righteousness. Your name is written in the book of life. There's no doubt about it if you're in Christ. But here we sit. In a world that's been cursed. Our outer man wastes away. And like the Apostle Paul, sometimes we even shout out, who can save me from this body of death? You know what his answer is? Jesus. Jesus can save us from this body of death. So we have one foot in the old creation and one foot in the new creation. And as I was going through this text, I kept thinking about suffering. And I thought about the Apostle Paul. You think, if somebody was not going to suffer in this life for all the good that he did, it had to be the Apostle Paul. Going out through the whole Mediterranean, planting churches everywhere, bringing the gospel to the world. There's no way he would suffer. You're like, no. Listen to this. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. 1 night and 1 day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of Gentiles. It goes on and on of his suffering. In perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in hunger and thirst. If anyone had a right to complain about suffering, sounds like the Apostle Paul does. You know, he writes this to the Corinthians. In the second letter to the Corinthians, he writes this right in the beginning of the letter. He writes, "For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even life." That's the Apostle Paul. That sounds like a defeated person right there. Sounds like someone who didn't even want to get out of bed in the morning. We despaired even life. But listen to this. A few chapters later, this is what Paul writes to the Corinthians. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Wait. Our light affliction, which was but for a moment. Did you hear that list? What's in Paul's mind? It was but for a moment. Is working for us a far more exceedingly and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So what changed? What changed from not being able to wake up because it was just too bad to Oh, don't lose heart. Because there's heaven, there's glory. It wasn't his circumstances, was it? No, we know Paul continually goes through suffering until he gets martyred. See, God never promised the Apostle Paul he wouldn't suffer. God doesn't promise us that we will not suffer. God doesn't promise us in Scripture that we're going to have a better life now. He doesn't promise us we're going to have the best cars, the best homes, the best vacations. None of that's promised to us. He doesn't promise us we're not going to get sick. He doesn't promise us that persecution won't come our way. Those are the things that are a false hope for the Christian. If we put our hope in those things, we're going to fall. We're going to stumble. Suffering is the condition in which we live in on this side of glory. But the Apostle Paul tells us, I rejoice in my sufferings in the midst. Did we say that last year? I'll admit, I didn't. I rejoice in my sufferings. And in our text this evening, we found out it wasn't only us that was suffering, but the creation suffered. Starting at verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. See, creation longs itself for Christ to return. See, the creation can remember a time when there was no curse. See, us, that's all we know is curse. We're born sinners. We're conceived sinners. So we don't know anything else till we get the glory. But the creation was made good. Pre-fall, it knew what it felt like to be good, free from the curse. And it longs for the revealing of the sons of God. You might be thinking, well, what does that mean, the revealing of the sons of God? You see, when Christ returns, we're getting new bodies. We're going to get glorified bodies like Christ has right now. And that will make our adoption complete. And we'll be free of sin, free of all the things that come along with sin. Hallelujah for that. Free of sickness, free of disease, free of bad thoughts, free of everything that goes along with it, gone when we get our glorified bodies. And the creation gets set free as well. I love how Paul writes that. The creation itself will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. That's so awesome to know that. That all of creation, when Christ returns, gets redeemed. And Paul goes on to explain from verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. And he wrote that 2,000 years ago, so it's still complaining and groaning. Not only that, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within, eagerly awaiting for the adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. I love that. But if we hope for what we do not see, glory. It's our hope. Seeing Jesus face to face is our hope. You see, Paul was telling the Corinthians that. Paul was telling the Romans that. He's telling us this tonight as well. For everything that we've been through, all the sufferings, can we say like Paul that it won't even compare to the glory that waits for us? if we persevere to the end, if we hold on to that hope, glory awaits. I want to read this little verse that Paul writes elsewhere about glory. You ready for this? Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered to the hearts of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. I got a pretty big imagination. Not even close. Not even close. That's glory. That's what's waiting for us. See, we look beyond where we are today. We look beyond all the sufferings and persecutions. Because today we're in the wilderness. And we're going to the promised land. Paul tells us we live in the present evil age. But he also tells us we have a secure future. And let's move on to our second point then. The Spirit prays for us. The Spirit prays for us. You know, Paul places this little two-verse interjection here. And it might seem a little out of place, because he's talking about suffering, he's talking about groaning, creation, and then after that he talks about glory. But for these two verses, he tells us that the Spirit is praying for us. Let me read it. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You see, when we start to suffer, when we start to feel persecuted, one of the things that can lead to is isolation. We go off on our own little island and we're all by ourselves. You know, the culture around us is trying to forcefully put us on that island, aren't they? They're trying so hard to make Christian the bad guys in society. They're trying so hard to say this, oh, that Bible that you believe, it's so outdated. Think about it. We're starting to be more and more isolated from society, from the culture. And what happens is you get so into that isolation, you start to not pray anymore. Maybe this is it, Lord. Maybe this is the way it's supposed to be. But Paul's telling us, no, that's not it. Like I said earlier, we have one foot in the old creation and one foot in the new creation. Paul tells us in just a couple verses, no, we're predestined. We're justified. We're glorified. Paul's encouraging us to pray here. He's encouraging us to pray during the sufferings. When it comes to the point where you say, that's it, I'm done. How many of us have had that this past year? That's it. Nope, no more. I'm done. To the point to where things were getting so bad that you wanted to pray and no words came out. That's what the verse is teaching us. That when we get to that point, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. When we don't have words to say, the Spirit prays for us. He intercedes on our behalf. I love what it says. He who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He knows you better than you know yourself. He can search your heart. That's how He can pray for you without you even knowing it. He intercedes for you. He knows every nook and cranny of you. He knows the deep recesses of your mind. Stuff you can't even remember anymore. He still knows it. You know, David writes this in Psalm 139. We've heard this 1,000 times. O Lord, You have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts from afar. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue. For there is not a word on my tongue. But behold, O Lord, you know it. Wow. God knows. God knows our hearts. He knows what's best for us. And He makes intercession for us according to the will of God. You know, sometimes last year, maybe at one point, you just didn't like where the Lord had put you. You couldn't handle it anymore. You couldn't handle the situation that you were in. But did we stop and think? That's exactly where the Lord wanted you. That's exactly where the Lord wanted you. And when the Spirit prays, He prays according to the will of God. So the Spirit knows exactly where you are. He knows what needs to be prayed, and He prays it. See, if you're dealing with suffering, the Lord knows. And He has you there for a reason. And He wants you to pray about it. And when you pray so much that you don't have any more words, He continues to pray. That's one thing about suffering that I would say is a good thing, because it drives us to our knees. Because then we know where our strength lies. And it's not with us, is it? It's with the Lord. You see, God is sovereign over everything. Not only the life of the Christian, but everything in the universe. And He has a place for us, even in suffering. He sends the Spirit to come alongside us and pray for us. And ultimately, we're being made more and more like Jesus every step of the way. And that leads us to our last point. We have an unbreakable chain. You know, when we read verses 28 through 30, you've probably heard those a million times. Some of you might even have them memorized. I want to read them again. The unbreakable chain. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. There's so much there. You could probably hear a sermon on each one of those verses. And there's enough in those verses that they wouldn't even be boring sermons. You'd love to hear them. So for us tonight, I just want us to grab the idea out of those verses. The idea that we can rest in the comfort that no matter what happens in this life, whether it be chaos, whether it be COVID-19, whether it be persecution of the church, God will make all things work out for good for those who love Him. For those who are called according to His purpose. Meaning that when you go through all of this, you're being made more like Jesus. You're being made more and more like His Son. See, Paul shows us this unbreakable chain. And I love it. For before the foundation of the world, you were predestined to be conformed in the image of Christ. So next time you don't want to get out of bed, remember that. Before the foundation of the world, you were predestined to be conformed to be like Jesus. And the best part about that is that He's doing the work. God is. You don't have to struggle through that. You don't have to tell yourself, I got to be more like Jesus. I got to be more like Jesus. No. You're predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. He gives you the Spirit. He prepares the things ahead of you every day to help you get there. One day, in your life, if you have faith, God gave you that faith. He did. He gave you the faith. He said, one day you are going to hear the gospel call and you're going to receive it. And on your account, I'm going to place the righteousness of my Son. If you're in Christ, that happened. You would hear the gospel call and receive it. Not only that, this is where it's almost too good to be true, but it is true. That you are justified, and not only are you justified, you're glorified. Right now, you're glorified. We may not have our glorified bodies yet, but Paul tells us in the beginning of Ephesians, you sit in the heavenly places right now. That's why he uses the past tense here. He also justified, and whom he justified, he also glorified right now. You are sitting in the heavenly places. That's the unbreakable chain. Because no matter how hard we try to break it, and we do all the time, try to break this chain, you can't break it. God, by His covenant promises, holds you secure to the very end. How awesome is that? The Apostle Paul told us this evening three things, didn't he? He told us, your future is secured. He told you, when you can't pray, the Spirit prays for you. And he told you, you are wrapped in an unbreakable chain and you are His until you see Him face to face. One pastor writes, the weight of glory far exceeds any suffering we presently endure. Do you believe it? That's the question. Do you believe it? Because suffering and persecution are a way of life for the Christian. It will come. But knowing those three things is not only going to make 2021 better, but every day until we see Jesus is going to be doable. Because we're headed home, beloved. We're headed home, and nothing's going to stop that. He has prepared the way. And He is faithful. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, You have prepared the way, and You are faithful. What You have ordained to come to pass will come to pass. You predestined us to be conformed into the image of Your Son. And then You sent out the gospel call and we received it because You gave us faith. Lord, help us to remember that when suffering comes our way. Help us to remember that we're justified before the courts of heaven. That our debt's been paid. That the wrath that was pointed at us, Your Son took so that we could be glorified and be in heaven for eternity. Oh Lord, help us remember that this year in 2021. And help us remember that every day until You return. You are faithful, Lord. In Jesus' name do we pray. Amen. Amen.